This is a production of Cornell University.
UA meeting, September 5th, 2007.
So this is a meeting of the University Assembly on the 5th of September 2007, beginning at 4:37. And I know that the employees, of which there are two out of 30, wanted to caucus. Is that enough to have a caucus before? It's just you guys. Okay, so what is the result of the caucus?
The result of the caucus is that Rodney is going to be chair for the employees.
Okay, there's been a chair for the employees appointed of Rodney Orne, and I guess that means you can assume your position here in the chair's position. Thank you. Okay, so looking at the agenda, there's a roll call, which simply means everybody please sign the form in the back if you haven't already, so we make sure that we have all record of everybody. Okay. I want to call for any late additions to the agenda. Okay. Any introductions of members who were not here last time? I think, Abe, you were not here, but that will serve as an introduction to... what will serve as an introduction will be a nice segue to the item number 5, which is the committees. Question about committees. The one before us today is the main piece of body of work will be about Family Services Committee and Child Care Committee, but we will also have brief reports from perhaps campus planning committee. So, do you...
in hopes that someone...
Mary Opperman will be here.
Can we change around
Ms.
the order?
Ms. Wolf, okay, yes, let's do that. First, does campus planning have anything, Randy? Do you have anything to report to us?
They sent me a big package, and I'm about 30 away to it. And Ari and I are going to meet with some people on Friday to make some introductions. And then one or two people will be here for the 26th, meet another 26th.
Right. Fine. So that's the report then of the Campus Planning Committee, is that on the 26th, our next UA meeting, we're going to have a full discussion of at least an opening discussion, let's say that, of planning at Cornell, and the campus plan will be laid out a bit for us, and we'll get a sense of where we are in the progress towards the campus master plan, which is underway now, and what role we could have in that. Is that?
And they plan to give a 20-minute presentation.
Okay. So will we have any material circulated to all of us to prepare us for?
I'll ask on Friday.
Okay. It should be something shorter than what you got. But there is a website. At least you could familiarize us with where in the website would be most useful for us to go.
So I'm not sure if the website is so useful now. I think that's what Friday is about.
I have more to report after our meeting than on Friday, but there is a campus planning committee website right now. It does have a list of the current members of the committee. It doesn't have any minutes or meeting times listed, but it does have a link to the campus master planning site. And they do have several documents posted there about their ongoing activities.
So I guess it's safe to say that part of the report, your report today is to urge us that we should all familiarize ourselves with the what we can find of the, about the campus planning activities.
So after Friday, I'll be able to guide everybody a little better.
Great. I can report Dan Brown is in Haiti, but I can report that the transportation folks will also be here at the next UA meeting. So it should be a really very lively meeting, at least lively from the point of view that we'll be able to get a sense of where we are in relation to those two functions in the university and where we can, and maybe at least begin to think about where we can be in relation to those two functions if we aren't in the right place already. So that's by way of urging everybody to make sure they have next meeting on their calendars and can be here again. Let's see. Any other business we can take care of? Ari brought to our attention that we have several committees that are part of the standing committees of the University Assembly and advisory committees as well, right? That we want to think about. Actually, last meeting we talked about people expressing interest in one or another, or familiarizing themselves with what they are and thinking about whether they have an interest in doing something about them. At the leadership breakfast, remember, one of the things that Dean Walcott, who was the guest at the university leadership breakfast 3 weeks ago, one of the things he said was that he, as a person involved with the administration and his sense of the administration more generally, has an interest in having the university assembly be more involved, be more as the university assembly is a representative body of the community as a whole. A good example of that will be coming up when we talk about this family services and child care committee, because it's an example of how the university administration has, in a way, said we want the community to be more involved in making decisions about what Cornell does. So taking that spirit, both Dean Walcott's and the what he reflected on, which also came through with in Tommy Bruce's comments, the question before the university assembly is who wants, are there any of those committees that you saw that you have a right to be a part of interest enough to you that you want to get them going on particular issues you might have? Is there anybody who came up with any in looking at those? Well, no.
I turned in some. I suspect a lot of it here by email. I think we were going to ask that question last year.
I didn't get them.
I think it was you.
They went to Jules?
I think so.
She requested.
I think, yeah.
Well, she'll be here in 20 minutes. She said she has class till 5, so we can bring that up. How many others of you? Okay. Well, I think the thing to do is to send copies of anything you can come across to other members of the chairs group, but particularly to the University Assembly's office. And we can get to get together. The assembly's office can get together, and we can.
If somebody can send it again, and the civic meeting.
Yeah, well, they're in the charter, of course. Understanding committees, the university assembly, in the website for the university.
I can bring that always today or tomorrow to page that list some of the briefs.
Somebody has sort of a discussion.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Rather than send out the list, just the list, I think the thing to do is to look at, here it is, under committees, information about assembly committees, committees, standing committees, codes and judicial committee, joint assemblies, multicultural issues committee, financial aid review committee, assembly system review committee, Board of University Health Services, Transportation Advisory Committee, Transportation Hearing and Appeals Board, Cornell Store Administrative Board, Cornell United Religious Work Advisory Board, and then what we have associated committees, Campus Planning Committee, Budget Committee, and Budget Committee, Budget Planning Committee. Both of those are associate committees. And there's nice descriptions of them at this website, Cornell, assemblycornell.edu/UA committees.
And we have a right to have one person on the committee.
Yes. Ah, please, welcome. We have, and that's what we'll find out. Yes, let's raise that right now. One of the things that we'll be discussing today in connection with the Family Services Committee and the Child Care Committee is that any committee of the University of Semo, Mary, why don't you come on up? There's a spot there, and that will, because we're going to be beginning right with child care in just a sec.
Okay.
Terrific. We need to have a liaison from the University Assembly on every one of these committees. The liaison is a non-voting member, but the liaison has the responsibility to both call the meeting, the initial meeting of the committee. So in that sense, the liaison prompts action of the committee. And second, the liaison reports to the University Assembly about the activities of the committee and brings any things, you know, any resolutions that are necessary for action by the University Assembly to the University Assembly. So it's an active role, and I'm sure the liaison also can contribute to the discussion and needs to be interested in the activity, in other words, of the committee, enough to become involved in the issues and have opinions about them, I would think, or have an interest in representing a certain point of view. So please do look at the list of committees. Please do send us one. And as a way of segue, a second segue, both the introduction of Abe and also to, for you to think about what this particular committee, Family Services Committee, because we'll need a liaison from the UA should we decide we want to have the Family Services Committee. Let us move on to the item under committees, Family Services Committee, Child Care, and I'll turn it over to Abe.
Okay, thank you. So that was a good introduction to the question about committees in particular, which one the UA is interested in. I concretely, there are two resolutions that we put together with the help of ARI and Human Resources. And the major one is to create a new campus life committee on family services that would be analogous to the committees on transportation, mail, and mail services, United Religious Work and Health Services, and the campus store. And so those are our standing, what are called campus life committees. And in fact, simultaneously, we'd also like to propose that we create a subcommittee on child care services. And in fact, just the history was that we initially proposed to HR that we create a child care services committee, and HR proposed that we be more ambitious and that we take on family services, which would include child care as one of its major components, but would also include, in particular, elder care. And then Mary Opperman, the vice president and the head of human resources at the university, can tell us more about what comes under family services. But this is an example of where, in fact, the administration is saying is offering us the opportunity to be involved. And in fact, agreeing that we could put into our charter that we have legislative authority over policies which guide the activities effectively in parts of human resources. And so this is an opportunity for us, but we also have to, we don't want to create a deadbeat committee. So we need to find someone to be a liaison to the committee. Right now, as an advertisement, I can say that these are potentially active and interesting committees. They both have had ad hoc versions that exist and are active. The ad hoc version of the Family Services Committee has been run within HR. It's been called the Work Family Advisory Council, and in fact is in part responsible for the what's now going to be the creation of 150 child care center on campus. The creation of that child care center initiated an ad hoc committee specifically on child care that's been meeting every 2 weeks for the last several months. And so these are committees that are coupled into major activities at Human Resources. And so that's my introduction. The formal statement would involve is written up here and would involve a charter change to add this committee to the list of campus-wide committees under Article 1, Section 3. Mary Opperman has been nice enough to come, which I think shows the commitment of the administration, and she can tell us what maybe the full breadth of a Family Services Committee could address and where it stands in her priorities.
So thank you for considering this resolution. We've had a Work and Family Committee, and we have an office and paid staff that do Work and Family, and we'll continue to have those if this resolution doesn't pass. The reason that we thought it would be beneficial to plans in this area and to have the committees be part of the assembly structure is in some part for decision-making and driving choices. These are very, when we talk about family services, we're talking about anything from flex time policies to parental leave policies, elder care services, care of other services, issues around spouse and partner illnesses, as well as child care and child care in the full gamut. So these issues are always expensive and always complicated, and no one strategy really addresses all the various needs that we have. When you couple that with what's going to be happening to our workforce over the next 10 years, both in the area of faculty renewal, but also in the area of staff renewal, which we're estimating in the next 10 years as many as 2,000 staff retiring, we're going to have a whole new set of workforce issues that we have to address. People who will be coming in with different needs. Our graduate student population has a pretty significant set of families service needs that are not being addressed, and increasingly our undergraduate population in non-traditional, outside of the single 18 to 21-year-old category is also growing. Not very fast, but is growing. So we need some help in terms of, we can brainstorm a bunch of ideas, we can bring you a lot of best practices, but if we're going to prioritize things and figure out what we ask for and how we ask for them, we could use some help from a community-wide organization and helping direct and guide us on that. So we thought we would be able to take on a kind of an ad hoc advisory group and make it more powerful, give it more of a voice, and have its purpose in defining things elevated beyond working for us to kind of working with us. We think that will actually create power when we go for resources in a time where we're competing for resources. We think this will give the issues of our faculty and staff more voice and more power in the kind of the struggle for limited dollars. The Child Care Committee has got a very specific role right now, which is that it's helping us make decisions on the Child Care Center. But after that, it has ongoing, we have ongoing issues that are very specific to child care, child family care networks. We're looking at providing services around in-home care to help people get care in home. The local school districts are moving away from after-care programming. What should we be doing in those areas? We just have quite a slew of issues specifically to child care. So we thought that if we kept the broad committee focused on the broad array of things and left one focused on child care as a subcommittee, that we'd be able to kind of make progress on all the areas.
You specified employees throughout in your, but and bearing on employees, not necessarily student employees either, but just employees who are not students, right?
Not in the area of child care. We expanded our role in the area of child care, graduate students and undergraduates.
Right.
Part of the, and our goal would be to take a look at family services for the whole population. That's another reason why putting it under the UA makes
right.
sense. It helps us to figure out, you know, what we're doing and what needs we're meeting. And
right, so your thought then is, when you say you expanded it, do you mean to say that human resources began to think more broadly than just employee issues and to have policies that you're developing in human resources for people outside of the category of employees?
Well,
or is it that you want to, having realized that it is a comprehensive issue, it doesn't include just employees, it, the family services includes some students, graduate students and undergraduates, you want to focus more in human resources on the employee segment of that and let the committee as a whole think about it more broadly?
Now, what we found, that's a very fair question. I mean, human resources has a much more narrow definition, but in practice, human resources is responsible, for example, for academic personnel policy. We are increasingly responsible for graduate student support in the area of child care. We manage the grant program, for example, for the graduate students. The WDELP area handles complaints related to discrimination and harassment for students. So we are beyond the sort of the more narrow definition. But in the area of family services, we believe anyway that the shift in the demographics that's coming over the next 10 years will impact our graduate population, the profile of the graduate population. We think it may impact our undergraduate population, probably not to as great a degree, and we know it will impact the staff and faculty population. So we're really looking for a comprehensive. You know, the money, the pockets of the pants where the money comes from for these programs is different, but the total available dollars and the competition for those dollars is, you know, we're all grabbing at the same money tree. So when you can put a lot more power around issues, support service issues, if you've really done a full needs assessment of your whole community.
And so the dollars in your efforts to try to bring those to your good, things that you serve as important and that we can say are important, that's at the level of the board?
Right. Depends on the issue. So, for example, with the we're putting about $1 million a year into grant programming to help with the cost of child care. That actually did come through a trustee committee that supported that because it was money out of a particular pool. For the building of the child care center, we had to go all the way up the approval process, which nothing I've ever seen before, and you don't know when you've made a mistake till after. But anyway, you have to ask permission everywhere you can find a door, and it ends at the board. You can't, like, you have to get to these stages, and then you have to go convince this board that you to give you these approvals. So with big money, you go off the administration and then over to the board, and, you know, you don't want to be wrong. You know, you don't want to do all that and find that you picked the wrong thing.
Yes.
So.
And they asked you, did you ask the community about this?
No.
They don't?
No, I mean, not in every case. On the child care grant program, for example, the data shows that the cost of child care in our area made, and the availability of child care in our area, made affordable child care. All you had to do was take that cost, the amount of it, somebody's total income they should have to pay for child care, and the arithmetic showed you that we had a problem. In the area of the child care center, it was the same thing. Family care providers have about gone out of business in New York State because of the rules, and we were losing staff and faculty, and hearing from graduate students, there was no place for their children. But as you move down through from the, oh my gosh, I can't believe we haven't fixed this one yet, to these are all really important issues. And so if you have to choose, even if you're going to do them all, but you've got to pick one versus the other, having constituencies help us do that prioritization. It's really necessary.
Can you give us an idea of what beyond the child care question you think that the Family Services Committee might be cogitating about and planning for and what issues might be dealing with?
So, in the broadest spectrum, there's programs, there's services, there's policies. Okay. In the programs and services area, we need to address the issues related to elder care and the care of elderly relatives and ill spouses and partners. That set of services, you can tell just by the demographics of our population, are increasingly important. As you look at the population, the workforce, and this is specific to workforce, the workforce population, as the workforce continues to age, we need to be more mindful about work relationships that are different from the standards of 9-to-5 work relationships, because we know that the highest performing people don't want to stay in work schedules that, that don't have flexibility because they don't have to stay, and yet we need them. And so figuring out how we make creative work scheduling work and those sorts of things are important. Flex time, what that means, flex place, what that means. We have the policies on the book. A lot of people say they can't use them. In the area of faculty services, the whole issue around academic parental leave, is it working? Where isn't it working? What do we do to help areas that are not? In the graduate population, we just put a parental leave policy in. Is it enough? Is it working? How are people using it? All of those things have to be monitored and managed. They may be just fine. They may be great. You may be missing something. It may be the first thing to say. So beyond the specific issue of child care services, the support services for individuals.
Are there any questions?
I'm just wondering if this would come under the purview of this new committee or whether your office is concerned with the decision to move undergraduate from the Hazard, which took away a spot for graduate students and to some extent I think disrupted a community and family cooperation. But were you involved in that, or would this committee have anything to do?
Well, you know, I don't know what other UA committees look at issues like that, so it seems to me that it was an issue that undergraduates had a concern about it as well, and graduate students did. This committee may well decide to move forward on an issue like that. We wouldn't be the primary, we would be more of a conduit to the campus life people, so we wouldn't, human resources wouldn't be involved in that, I mean, other than the fact that we have some research issues about that, but it could be under this group. I guess the way I look at this is, once it becomes a UA committee, we have a role, we human resources have a role in bringing forward the things we'd like this committee to do, and then the UA would fill in the rest in terms of what it thought was important in these areas.
I thought the graduate committee was very concerned about the major committee when graduate university was being discussed about it.
And I think what I've heard about that is that what people want to see and understand is what are the long-term plans for graduate student residents. You know, we see the North and West campus for undergraduates. You know, there's questions about upperclassmen. You know, do we have a plan for upperclassmen undergraduates? And what is our long-term strategy, institutional strategy for graduate students? I mean, that's what I've heard.
Just to help with response to that, there is a student assembly committee, an essay committee called Residence Life, and that was where the purview was in terms of committee relationship to an assembly. Campus Life is the owner of Hasbro, and that would have probably been, had it been utilized, the official conduit. But I think Mary makes a good point. With this type of committee, we might have the opportunity to approach it from a different direction.
Right.
And because this wasn't necessarily thought of as an undergrad issue, except that the transfer students are living there. So I think it lends nicely, definitely.
And it seems to be a situation where the interest of the graduate students' families is just completely
ignored. Well,
don't go forth at all. I just wondered if the committee would help.
Well, I think that's what that's my question to Mayor Hoffman was just was what did HR think might be the function of the campus, the family service committee, besides, you know, the child care. And she allowed us that if the UA forms this committee, when the UA forms this committee, it has the right to look into questions that it thinks are pertinent, and that may well be one of them. And I think, you know, we have to take action on the resolution in order for that to become a possibility.
Although the structure of these committees has been UA to be a relationship between UA, the UA and the community and an identifiable administrative unit. And so I'm wondering to what extent campus life cooperates with HR and whether that would make sense, and this is kind of a question for everyone, whether if we had in fact two administrative units that this one committee was trying to coordinate with, we would need contact from both of those.
I would recommend that the UA try with a single owner. This is completely selfish, okay. I have an agenda a mile long in the area of family services for folks as defined, and you may well find that you quickly develop a secondary agenda, but I would prefer anyway that we give a shot at least to trying to get through some of the things that we have on our list, and you may then find that it's really not meeting all of the needs of the people, of the constituents of the UA, and you need multiple owners. But, you know, what I don't want to have, what I'm trying to do is essentially share the decision making around what I think are community decisions. And by doing so, gain some strategic advantage in the advancement of these as priorities, funding priorities. But I don't want to have happen is have such a broad agenda that I end up having to recreate something so that I can keep things moving on the family services side. So I would just ask that you can give it a year or so, and if it's not what you want, you yep. If you're a committee, you can disband it or change it.
One thing to point out that in some sense is built into this dual proposal is that this the superstructure of the Family Services Committee could, in some sense, be modular by using subcommittees. So that this year, there are very concrete things that can keep a committee busy on child care, and in some sense, the Family Services Committee might meet once a year, but the child care subcommittee would be meeting frequently as this child care center gets designed and built. And that might be a model for other UA committees that lie around some dormant because they're on the largest scale, their agenda is not very full. They might have short-term important things to deal with, and they can be dealt with in a subcommittee-like format. So in that sense, even as the other services under family services become are developed into concrete agendas that need to be dealt with. The child care piece of the story is already there and is already an active committee. So
I'd like to I'd like to suggest that we read the resolution that all of us. The first resolution being the Family Services Committee resolution. And, yeah, just a second. And that we look at it, that we take some action to consider passage. Now, Amy has brought up an issue before we began about the need for charter. Is this a charter change? We both she and I, and I think Rodney, looked at the charter. And it seems to me, what did you come up with?
What I came up with is that the first be it therefore resolved resolution of R4, that be it therefore resolved that Article 1, Section 3 of the Charter, if we want to change that portion of the Charter, we have to go through an entire referendum of all of our constituencies, which I don't think any of us want to do. understanding of the UA, we want to start following our charter and things like that, because I know sometimes looking through should become the definition of what we actually do. But that's the only part in here that we're not really allowed, and it still allows us to create the standing committee.
It allows us to create the the resolution to establish the Family Service Committee as a standing committee of the University Assembly. Can be done without changing the charter, Article 1, Number Section 3.
Right, and the other sections we can change according to our charter by 2/3 vote of the constituents.
So, in order to enact this, what we have to do, well, first thing we have to do is amend your resolution to pull out the resolve that Article 1, Section 3 be amended.
Wait a minute. Are we actually voting on this, and then I can propose the amendment?
No, we can't. You can propose an amendment first, and we vote on the resolution thereafter.
Thank you. It has to be on the table, and then you can amend it.
Well, you proposed this resolution.
Yeah. Well, I have a question about the amendment. I guess if
well, we can't question the amendment until we have a resolution on the table.
Okay, I can put the resolution on the table.
All right.
I'll second that.
All right, there's a second. Amy seconds. Now, the resolution is there, and Amy has proposed that be amended by removing.
Do you want me to repeat the amendment that we're talking about here quickly? Because there's one more, a couple of little things in the next one. If the second be it therefore, instead of it being further, it should be it therefore resolved that the Assembly establishes a Family Services Standing Committee. That's what we have the authority to do in our charter.
Then the question is, does this actually formalize this?
Yes, as a standing committee.
And it's, but a standing committee doesn't have the status of the other committee.
That's the Codes and Officials, a standing committee.
It has the same status.
If you look at Article 11 of the Charter, it says that an affirmative vote of majority of voting members of the University Assembly shall be required to amend the bylaws and procedures of the University Assembly, and an affirmative vote of 2/3 of the seated membership of those to amend those articles of the Charter not excluded in 11.1. 11.1, the articles that are excluded are those which appear under 11.2, which anyway has to do with the membership and other sort of formal organizational aspects of the University Assembly. Those we cannot change without going through the various other assemblies and having votes by them. But we can create the standing committee, and we can create ad hoc committees by only 2/3 vote.
My question is, do we compromise the committee's potential impact by taking out the language shall have legislative authority? And this isn't just to scare Mary that we're going to try to take over HR, but that
you can have it.
At some point if this in 10 years there may be a point where we actually need to be we need to take an action that it needs more authority. Now, in the next, we might want to make a standing committee and then start the long process of amending our charter. That's an option. Which sounds like it could take a year if we have to get all the way to a board.
Why not put it in as we have it with this particular amendment as a standing committee, giving it the year to see how this works and see how it goes about, and then in a year somebody will remember this conversation, hopefully, and decide to go through the long process, giving the University Assembly the authority to quote legislate. But I don't think it takes away from it. And I think if we try to do this whole legislative authority right away, I think we're trying to bite off too much at once for a committee that we don't know is going to.
So can I just say, legislative authority over policies? With all due respect, I don't even know what that means. I don't know how much having legislation legislative authority over the Department of Transportation to provide parking rates, but to me, that our goal ought to be that the Family Services Committee shows some value because it demonstrates legislative aside.
Well, that's for the extreme case when there's actually complication, I think, is what where that language came from, and that you can imagine that at some point the university assembly would like the right to actually write a letter to Scorton, write a formal that he, is somewhat binding for him to at least consider. Now, of course, even he can consider it, but then the board has to say yes or so on. But that's the level at which I think that's the meaning, and it gives the possibility that a UA committee has teeth, and I think psychologically that's important.
Well, I
have that somewhere in the range of possibilities so that people take time out of their afternoons to come.
Except I really want this committee to get started.
So
now.
There I agree. I agree.
So could we do what we suggested, go for a year, and then wouldn't you have a better chance with your constituency that you could go back and say, this committee was formed for a year.
Right.
Here's all of the things that participated in doing. We'd like to make it a standing committee, which means you got to do this thing here.
Well,
it'll be a standing committee.
I think you can create a standing committee even if you don't have legislative authority in those aspects over policies which guide the activities there, policies particularly. I mean, your point about transportation is well taken. The fact is, if we have legislative authority over policies in the Department of Transportation, when have we exercised it? I mean, it's been moribund. So, I mean, here we have a committee that we're going to form, which will have the potential of having some kind of policy input and policy determination. And you know, so it's not in Article 1.3, you know, or so what?
I just think it's worth considering for all of our committees, if we have, should we take that language out or should we we figure out what it means and whether we
No, I think you're right. And I think you're right that we should be more serious about what that language means. But I don't think it should stand in the way of creating a year long process for us to get the committee underway. So let's remove that particular portion about and let's say further just say be it resolved that the assembly establishes a standing committee and calls the Family Services Committee. And then
do you have any comments on that?
Yes, I would like to apologize for the oversight of I didn't realize that section of the charter about amendments being subject to community referenda applied to this clause. If I had, I think we probably would have had a discussion about that sooner than today.
Yeah, well, I didn't realize it until today, and we just started looking at it. And it only applies to three portions of the charter. It's the Article 1, Article 2, and Article 11. Yes, in terms of changing things.
I was just looking. It doesn't actually cite them by number, right? It just cites them by title.
It cites them by authority membership changes in the charter. And I go by numbers in my head, so I needed numbers.
Yeah.
It's an 11.2. Amendment of the article set forth in 11.1 shall require approval by community referendum.
So based on that, my only feedback would be, I think it would make sense to strike that so that the committee could, because there's another clause in authority that deals with the university assembly's ability to address issues that it thinks are important to the whole campus community, whether or not it has explicit legislative authority. So, and as you said, it would be more in the springtime anyway that a referendum could be brought up on this.
Well, it would, if we vote this amendment, then we'll need to have a liaison from the UA, and we. Has anybody come forward in the process of the discussion and reading the resolution? But that person could be a kind of pilot for finding a way to make this, develop a language for what you wanted to include it in Article 1, Section 3. And at the same time, the UA can start to think about what Abe has just suggested, that what do we what do we want to do about having legislative authority over policies which guide Cornell United Religious Work University Health Services? What do we want to do about that? But that's for later meetings, for our later meetings, not for now. So with that in mind, do we want to cut back to extend the language? Be it therefore resolved that the Assembly establishes a Family Services Standing Committee, and be it further resolved that Section 7.5 be added to Article 10 of the Charter to read as follows. Is that acceptable as an amendment?
Yes.
We have unanimous consent for an amendment to remove the first resolve and change be it the second resolve to just be it resolved to remove further. Be it therefore resolved that the Assembly establishes a standing committee called the Family Services Committee. How's that amendment?
I don't think
any other committees are called so and so standing committees. They're called chosen judicial committees.
Okay, well then
so
let's establish the Family Services Committee.
Right. A standing committee will have to call it rather than advisory. A standing committee called Family Services Committee.
What?
A standing committee.
This be it therefore resolved to the Assembly establishes a standing committee.
The Family Service Committee has a standing committee. How's that? The Family Service Committee has a standing committee.
Either that, or we can just leave the. I mean, if we leave it as be it therefore resolved, as the original amended resolution was, be it therefore resolved that the Assembly establishes a Family Services Standing Committee, because then the committee is already named Family Services, and the wording doesn't get all cut up.
We can wordsmith that later, right? The intent is that the Family Services Committee is a standing committee. All right. And then the rest of the results.
If it's placed in the section of the charter where it's proposed, it would be a standing committee. I mean, you don't need to be explicit in that wording.
All right. And then the rest of it, committee is charged to identify needs of non-academic staff, graduate professional students, undergraduate students with family responsibilities, and to address issues related to work, study, life balance, over which the Assembly has legislative authority assigned in Article 1, Section 3. Now, do we need to remove that? I think so. I think we just said over which the Assembly has what? Issues related to work, life, study, balance, period.
To study proposals brought by members of the
To study proposals brought by members of the university and community or administration to meet those needs, and to advise the Assembly, Vice President of Human Resources, and other senior members of the university administration to bring such proposals. Any questions about that? Questions? Okay. The Committee on Family Services consists of 15 voting members. Constituent assemblies appoint a total
of eight
voting members from their respective constituencies in the following numbers. Student assembly may appoint one, graduate professional student assembly two, employee assembly three, one employee representative who is part of Cornell University collective bargaining agreement, and the faculty senate may appoint three. The President may appoint a total of five voting members who shall be local community experts in subjects related to family issues and the charge of the committee. Any questions about that?
I thought it earlier.
Mr. Rose.
Yeah. What is a work-study-life balance?
Oh, that's the previous paragraph.
Yeah.
So the work-study-life balance, in terms of writing it in here, were the demands that are being put on our faculty, staff, and students in terms of being able to conceivably what services we need to provide in order to make that an option.
Well, do you want to just say a balance between work, study, and life?
How do you want it?
I think the wording that David is quite fine.
Well, I think Professor Rosen was suggesting that
since I don't have a way to pose an amendment off the top of my head, I don't know, it's just...
Okay. Any other thoughts about that?
Not that further.
Okay, Bill.
The one after, I'm just... Didn't know, maybe asking a question, but the 15 voting members, is that based on charter, or is that just in this proposal, this is the size somebody decided on?
That's actually my question as well.
It's, no, that was original suggestion. We changed it to be 15 so that we can explicitly add a representative from the collective bargaining agreement. That was a suggestion from HR. So my sense is that we could make it 35 right now, and it would get, but that's, so that's on the table.
I would think it's smaller versus larger, but.
Yeah, it does, it is large there.
The number kind of came from what's been working in terms of the Child Care Services Committee and what demographics tend to have a vested interest in these family issues. And I know a lot of discussions, at least when the Child Care Services Committee was being formed, were what constituencies do we need to have represented, and which ones have a most vested interest in the issues at hand.
My general concern, and again, I'm relatively new with this organization, also with EA, but I've seen the same thing with EA, is being able to get 15 people on this committee and interested, but not just this committee, you've got 13, I think it is, that we want on this child services subcommittee, and then we're talking about all these other committees that are not active right now that we'd like to try and get active, possibly, if there's a real issue, and I'm seeing the same thing in EA, and it just seems like we're going after so many people between all these committees. When you really look at the whole picture and try and figure it out, it's like we need 300 or 400 people to staff all these different committees, not 15 here. You know, we can't look at just this one. So I'm just thinking it through as a bigger picture. And my concern would be if you can't get the 15 people here or the 13 on child service, let's say you get 10 or whatever, do you now have an active committee, or do you have to have the 15 to be active? And I'd hate to have this committee, which sounds like it could be important, not be active simply because we can't meet the number of people on the committee. You know what I'm asking questions that may be
Mary.
We have a committee,
yes,
of people who want to continue to serve. So we already have a feeder into this committee.
And the child care does as well.
Yes.
But I think also, how often are these committees actually going to sit down and vote on something, mm-hmm, where they need a quorum or something, is actually not very large. So in the practical example from the child care committee, it's been meeting all summer and it had down to 4 people show up for a meeting, but it didn't mean that nothing got done. But in fact, at the end of the day, we are trying to vote on something with a quorum every single day. In fact, we haven't, and we won't probably. So in that sense, I think these committees can be productive without having everybody even assigned. But I have the same concern as you do, and that's in part whether right now already there's at least one other person besides me who's willing to be a part of these two committees, or part of one of these two committees. And because again, I think if we can't get that level of interest, we're fooling ourselves to start the committee building.
Good question. A little bit more, if you could explain about the president may appoint a total of 5 voting members to be in the local community.
No, that's child care. We're not going after those.
No,
no,
that's
him.
Where is it?
I think that I don't think that's like
sorry.
The downtown community. I think that means the Cornell community.
Who? But wouldn't everyone who would be part of the Cornell community be either faculty, students, or staff, unless you want to count alumni? But.
Well, no, but this would actually include the representatives from HR. No, they come because if we don't have them there, we're not making any progress. And so, if Mary and the UA liaison agree that some representative from her office is going to for that year be there, that person becomes presidential appointee. My understanding.
Okay.
And then, for example, and it does make sense to have community. Downtown community members, county community members present, and the child care community has had 2 community members non-Cornell community members present, because child care is actually a coordinated effort with the community. So, and that is my understanding, is those people would also fall under this presidential appointee.
Actually, I agree with you. The way this is written is not what we had intended. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a couple of people from the local community, but it does read as though they're from downtown.
Yeah, it just seems like when you have more of them than any other constituent, the students, faculty, or staff, in some cases, more of those.
This is brought over from this child care committee where we didn't ask the president about it, but that we did. There were, I think, two Cornell faculty members with expertise in human development and even architecture and planning.
I think it's the way it's written, though. It's from the local community. It might want to say who might be from or who could be from the local community, because if I see a faculty member with an expertise in work and family, I don't think of them as local community. I think of them as part of the faculty. You wouldn't want
Cornell and local? Cornell and on-campus community?
If Ben Wright would be local community, five voting members who shall be experts in subject related to
family. And then, if I could kind of piggyback on what he said, if we're just going to have the president appoint people who already are faculty, if we're having a hard enough time getting faculty to join committees as it is, I'm not sure I see the need to make a committee bigger just for bigger sake. Like, we're going to have
to the fact that people who could make or break the productivity of the committee. Okay. Because faculty come in, and students and staff will come in, not having an expertise in what elder care means. Yet, if we get a few of those, convince a few people, and it does require the committee to be productive and convincing, a few experts to come in. That's those are the people who are going to make things forward and inform the voting members of how to make a decision.
This is also where the president would appoint me or somebody in my organization. So without some ability to bring in, I'm not sure if the council would word expert in there, but you know, there's people who would come not as a constituency representative. So the human resource folks, people from WDOC, they are staff, but they're not there as constituency representatives. They're there to do their jobs, and that's what I saw these five for.
Abe, I actually thought this was going to read may appoint up to five instead of a total of.
And maybe it could be some way implied that the whole committee can run without its 15.
That's the rules of the committee.
That's a given. That's fine.
Let me just clarify the last sentence in that paragraph. The president may appoint up to five voting members who shall be experts in subjects related to family issues and the charge of the committee.
Can I say something about that?
Is that acceptable so far?
Yep.
Randy.
I'd like to shorten it. The president may appoint a total of five voting members, because he's only going to appoint people that are interested. People that are interested are going to accept it, and then there's no question about whether they're experts, whether they're parents, whether they're local, whether they're staff, university administration.
Well, it could potentially matter whether they're experts in child care, whether they're considered involved.
Okay.
But I mean, wouldn't you rather have them on the committee, though? I mean, ultimately, the committee's power is in moving a whole bunch of divergent views together, not putting only like-minded people. That's why I want this committee, because there's lots of choices that have to be made, and having multiple constituents.
I would see it like other parts of the university as a legislative committee. I mean, I believe in separation of powers. The administration there has enormous power. But to have a group that is able to present needs to the administration seems better to me than having people in the administration who may be, you know, could really shape what the committee does.
There are only five members that they're asking for, and I think it's important to have that communication line between the committee and the administration, because what they're defining are things that are important to both, and
I can push back a little bit because I already have a committee actually that works, and they're really pretty engaged and invested, and they work very collaboratively with us. The purpose of bringing this to the UA was not to create a committee that somehow needed to watchdog over the administration because we have some nefarious or perhaps conflicting goals. It was because these are community-based issues that require broad community input to decide how to prioritize and move forward. I would feel really sad if the outcome of this was the sense that if the president chose them and they happen to work in Day Hall, that that was somehow, I don't know, the spies into the committee. There are people that are there. They're paid because they believe in these things, and they want, and we offered this. We came forward and said, we have a committee. We think it's valuable. We think it could be a lot more powerful and valuable if it had the, you know, the power of constituency voices behind it. So, I mean, if you want to do that with it, that's fine. But if the end result is just people from downtown and folks appointed by the UA, then I'm going to keep my committee.
I could just give a note of testimony here. I've been to most of the child care meetings that have gone on, and there are appointed representatives of this sort on the child care committee. One of them is the present director of the Cornell Early Childhood Education Center. So an important person to talk about child care and with very strong views about the directions of stuff like that that aren't administrative directions being put down, but actually some of them conflicting with budgetary questions and others that the administration might have to talk to and brought up. There is the head of Sude Hall, which she's the head of
the daycare council.
Daycare council is one of the president's representatives, which is the Contra County Daycare Council. There was somebody from the Ithaca City School District who was involved in early child education program. These are the people that are being appointed, not people to enforce certain administrative views of how to handle children. And I think that's the spirit of this, where the representative is being appointed.
But is this standing committee going to be really different in its constitution and function from other standing committees? I know in Codes and Judicial, we often invited administrative people to come and typically meet with you, but they were not members of the Codes and Judicial Committee.
Well, we have a lieutenant in the Cornell Police. We have the judicial administrator. Thank you very much.
I just have another appointment.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Nothing
to say. No. I think it's not. My experience with the child care one is that it's not. It's better that there be people there to say the things that are.
Can I share some other?
more. No, just, I mean more like the other. I do need to represent constituencies that are not a part of the administration.
Could I share some other thoughts that are coming up in my head about? This was modeled somewhat also on other. Other committees that were listed in under that legislative authority section, like Transportation Advisory Committee, which has five members that are appointed by the president. And the idea with the presidential appointments is that constituent assemblies are going to appoint people to represent constituencies, but in addition to that, it's valuable to have people who are experts in their field, whether or not that's explicitly requested. The notion that it would be good if the president, on advice of, I don't know, somebody, Mary Alberman or somebody else who's very familiar with how these projects are working, additionally made sure that some of the people appointed to the committee had specific expertise in childhood development or things like that. But, and the second thing is that this committee reports to the University Assembly, which is entirely constituent representatives. So any recommendation it makes is subject to review and revision by this assembly.
What we've had in the past with Transportation Advisory Committee, for example, is a lack of reporting to us so that we can't make any decisions, and that's partly because we haven't been active in it and haven't brought things through. So I would say this is a great move to the extent that we are actually getting vigorous participation in important issues for the community, and we'll then have, should we have, you know, a good person to take the job of liaison, reports to the assembly and actions by the assembly on moves that have been taken by the committee, or at least proposals that have been made by the committee.
David Rosen, how important is it that the five appointees from the president be voting members as opposed to non-voting members?
Another thing maybe that's causing me a little confusion here is my understanding is the voting members are they're experts in the field. They are probably not going to be people who work in Day Hall for the most part. The reason that there additionally are non-voting members appointed by those are the liaisons from the administrative units.
Okay. So, looking at that sentence, the president may appoint a total of five voting members who shall be experts in subjects related to family issues and the charge of the committee. I think that should stand rather than just the president shall appoint a total of five voting members.
I may have led to the confusion that, in fact, that those Mary Opperman would not be one of those presidential appointees. Mary Opperman would be, in the next paragraph, one liaison. Or liaison from the related administrative unit, and they're non-voting. So I apologize for having confused those two sets of people. So Mary Opperman or her representative would be there, but she would not be a voting member.
Well, do you think that we have wanted to continue with a total of five voting members, or do we want to have up to five voting members?
Up to
five voting members. I think it's important to leave the experts and subjects related to family issues and the charge of the committee is giving the two topics.
May I read this last sentence because we're getting late and I'd like to act on it. The president may appoint up to five voting members who shall be experts in subjects related to family issues and the charge of the committee. Is that acceptable to everyone? Unanimous consent?
Sorry, I do have a question.
Yes.
Rosalie. Yeah. The omission of local, I think, will be read as a way of saying this will be campus community and not downtown. I think that if you want it to suggest that the experts could be from Ithaca School District, that you'll need something like local.
All right.
Can I suggest language then?
Yeah.
Local experts from the campus or local community.
I think local is good enough. That'll handle it. Who shall be local experts in subjects related to family issues in charge of the committee?
I think campus helps diffuse some issues that people have.
Local campus?
Local or campus.
Campus.
Campus and or.
Campus and community.
Well, I'm just campus responding to the earlier question that was raised about local experts implying that it's referring to people who are not part of Cornell but are in the local community. Not that that's, you know, we may not understand it that way, but if you want to be explicit that they can be from the local community or from the Cornell campus, it might be good to say local or campus. Because sometimes local community means people who are
explicit that this is
local or campus?
Campus
or local?
Community.
Community or university?
That sounds good to me.
Okay. Community or university. David, is that fine? Okay. The president may appoint up to five voting members who shall be community or university experts in subjects related to family issues and the charge of the committee. Unanimous consent. Great. The next paragraph, calling to serve as non-voting, we've covered that. The final brief, further resolved,
that this resolution be distributed with no problem. Be finally resolved this resolution be approved by the president and chair of the assembly should contact the leaders of the student assembly. The president of the university request the committee be staffed as promptly as possible. Acceptable? Okay. Respectfully submitted.
Do we have to do that if we're not doing a charter change to send it to President Squirtle?
Yes, because it's still a charter change.
From the UA.
So I...
different kinds of charter.
Let me review that. All the whereases stand. The resolve, therefore, begin with B. It therefore resolved that the Assembly establishes a Family Services Committee as a standard... What was the wording on that?
A standing committee call.
Okay. The Family Services Committee, and be it further resolved, et cetera. And then the second page is as it.
Marty.
Yes.
I have a change for the second B for. Be it further resolved that.
Section 7.5.
It should be 9.3.
Let's look at 9.3. Why is that? Because it's in... Just a minute, Ari. Okay, let Ari go ahead, because he's the one who pointed it out.
And Rodney was sort of looking for another section at the same time that I came over to talk with him about it and look at his charter. So we had originally talked about like two options for this to go. One was adding this legislative authority and making this like analogous to other campus life committees or so-called campus life committees. That term's kind of defunct now. But the other option was to put it under Article 9 as an associated committee without explicit legislative authority over that area. So right now it's grouped with committees that have that legislative authority over certain departments. So it would make sense to put it under a category that's...
Well, it's not a standing committee then. Right?
I thought the associated committees were standing.
No, the standing committees of assembly are committee on committee, post and judicial joint assembly.
Yep, there
I would suggest we leave it at 7.5. Why is it 7.5 and not 7.4? So there is no 7.4.
Yeah, there is.
I have 7.3F. Standing committee operations, 7.3F.
Section 10, 7.4.
Oh, section 10, 7.4.
Section 7.5 of Article 10, which is 10.7.5.
Where are the other standing committees of the assembly?
Saying that the appropriate numbers will be provided?
Yes, let's vote on it saying the appropriate numbers will be provided. As a standing committee. Acceptable to everyone? All right, would all those in favor say aye?
Aye.
Any opposed? Let's specify I have any abstains. Not abstain.
Wait,
what did you just...
We are voting presently on resolution to establish the Family Services Committee.
Okay, I'd still like to find out if anybody is interested in this committee. It's fun creating committees, but is anybody actually interested in it?
Family Services Committee.
So we were going to go home and write to Jules and Marty about all the committees we'd be interested in being in. Is this one of them that people are actually interested enough to show up twice a year? Maybe more too.
Is this, can I just, about the associated committees, it can be a little confusing.
Not yet.
Okay. But before you vote on it, because I think it should be under that other section.
All right. That was an issue that Rose, you mentioned your interest in having observations of kids in the child care facility, right? If you had been a part of the child care committee, that could have been an issue that you brought up. It would seem to me like child and family life, family development might be a useful part of one's experience at Cornell.
In order to,
only two times a year.
In order to be a part of this committee, does a person already have to be a member of the UA?
Or can it be any community member, as it says here? Any
community member. No, he would be a liaison from the UA. That's all Abe is asking.
No, I'm asking somebody to. I'm willing to be part of this effort, but I'd like one other person to. Because this, exploring what this, expanding the definition beyond child care is going to require somebody else's concern besides mine. And so I'm asking before I become by default. The liaison for this. I want to protect the UA from creating more defunct committees. And so that's what I'm saying. Is somebody actually willing to be?
Well, I'm interested in elder care. If nobody else does, I'll come to a standing.
I think asking for 28 people to serve as voting members of these two committees is a lot.
Well, what?
Well, you're not asking for them from the UN.
No, I know that. I think asking from as many committees and as people serving in different committees out there, I think asking for 28 people to serve on just this one committee.
No, the one committee doesn't have 28.
But these committees are already currently staffed. I mean, you're talking about moving them under the University Assembly.
Yeah. We had to turn people away from the child care committee.
Right, the child care committee is a vigorous committee, and it's because there has nothing to talk about it, too.
Then why are all eyes looking here to see if I am going to see
that? But Family Services actually, Family Services needs another contact from us to get going.
And the UA needs to think about what it is doing as a body in relation to by representing the community, getting involved in administrative and policy making in the university, rather than sitting and, like I said the last year in an intemperate moment, just adding it to your CVs. You know, the point is that you want to say, this is something we are doing in the community, not just we're sitting here and carping about what's wrong with the community, or sitting here and saying this is a wonderful experience talking.
Then if I can add to that, our responsibility, and I've said this in the GPSA as well, our responsibilities as members here on this committee is to bring information back to our constituencies, back to our departments, back to our graduate professional assemblies, back to our faculty representatives, and to share the information, not just in this room, but to everybody else who's on a part of this Cornell community.
Yeah.
Not just the people here, but all of us.
Right.
And so my job, our job, your job, everybody's job is to pass on the information. When something like this emerges from the university assembly, it's our responsibility, for example, and the reason why I brought it up is because I'm not just a member here from the UA. I'm not just a member here from the GPSA. I'm also a member here from Human Development. And I would be amiss if I did not say something about how having a child care program that was taken away from MDR, not really having the input coming back to me and my department about what that means for us in the Department of Human Development, it's my responsibility to then go back to that department and say, hey, guess what? We just established a Family Services and Child Care Committee. Is there anybody here who would like to be a part of that?
Yeah.
And then they can pass information from their respective position on that committee back through me to come to the UA.
Makes absolute sense to me. Go
and
ahead.
That's fine with me.
Okay.
Okay. But so I can't divvy up more time to another committee when already being a part of the UA and the GPSA and my department.
But one could say that the link that was missing earlier on was somebody in the UA taking a stand about the dismantling of the. Of the early childhood education program in human development and family studies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe that could have been an issue that could have been brought to the attention of the faculty in the Human Development and Family Studies Committee by a resolution from the UA. Had the UA had it brought to their attention early enough.
Okay.
And that might have been, rather than going from here to them,
mm-hmm.
you or somebody else before mm-hmm. you, coming from them to us.
Which is clearly why it's important to have such a committee.
Exactly. So that's why we're looking at you.
I don't know.
Okay. All right. So if we're not looking at you, then we want to look at somebody else.
How many have staffed the committee before establishing it?
We're only trying to find Ava's concern because nobody has said that they will be a representative. I've volunteered that I'll be a representative.
Well, if somebody else is going to exchange.
Okay, so then we have 3 minutes if we don't want to go forward any further.
If you're willing to share this responsibility of getting the.
I'd like it if somebody else in the UA was involved, because I'm involved in Coach Judicial Committee too. And if somebody else in the UA, you know, could look at this seriously and think, oh, this is something that, you know, the UA and the community as a whole, we should have some say in, and I'll be the liaison, which is the non-voting. I'll be happy to go and meet two times a year. But that's all I'm going to say. But I will be
there. For people who are not here,
there's seven people not here. So this will come out of what we have to do here with a quorum with two thirds necessary, or we can pass this resolution should we have the moxie to do so. So anybody want to
call the question?
Okay.
And as I understand it, the question is this text. With the exception that somebody's going to look up to see what proper numbers should go in.
The text that's been amended by unanimous consent, with the provision that which section the second resolve goes in will be worked upon by several members. Don't bring it up now. Don't bring it up now. We need to.
I don't think you can make like an ambiguous. This will go somewhere in the charter, kind of. I mean,
are you saying you want to have it as associate committee rather than a standing committee? Is that what we want?
No. I'm saying that an associated committee is actually a type of standing committee.
Say that. Under committees.
It says it in section 7.2 of the charter. There shall be three categories of standing committees of the UA. Committees of the Assembly, which is like committees about the internal operations of the Assembly for the most part. Associated committees and campus-wide committees. The reason we were talking about this like an associated committee is because basically it sort of works as like the go-between between the Assembly and Human Resources on the topic of family services.
Well, and where it says Campus Life Committee, when all of this was created many years ago, 25, 30 years ago, there was a division headed by Bill Gurewitz that was called the Division of Campus Life. And that's what that term, Campus Life, refers to, that old division. And all of those committees or departments that had committees were a part of that campus life division, which is no longer exists. So it really technically can't be a campus life committee because campus life as a division no longer exists. And that's something I think that charter needs to be updated on because a division no longer exists. It's not a generic term.
But to be... I'm just saying the campus life committees are committees...
Excuse me, but the fact is that if it's a standing committee and you think that it can go either in 7 or 9, it doesn't really matter that we decide whether it's associated or not.
No, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that I don't think it would appropriately go in 7. The reason that we proposed it being in section 7.5 of Article 10 was because we thought that it would be dealing with legislative authority category.
Is it acceptable to everyone here that it be decided which is more appropriate, 7 or 9, by common consent of several members of the UA?
Yes.
All right. So is it acceptable? Any objections to that?
What do you mean by common consent?
What do you say?
You can't pass a resolution without everything in. You just can't. It's not good form. It's not Robert's rules, even vaguely. And I don't think it's right. You're proposing a charter change without having things in place.
I wasn't proposing a charter change.
That's what this is.
No, it's not a charter change. We just made the point that it's not a charter change.
Well, I think maybe.
No, you're changing portions of the charter that you can change.
You're establishing a committee.
Right.
9.3.
Going into the charter,
because
we're saying that.
That's what I've been saying. But
3 of Article 9.
All I'm saying is that for this kind of standing committee, because the legislative authority thing needs to be tabled until a time when a referendum and all that can happen, this should go under 9.3.
Yeah.
can
not,
you change your resolution to reflect that? Is, I think,
yes, so
what you should talk about.
It can read, therefore resolved that section 3 be added to Article 9 of the Charter and read as follows. And then it should read 9.3.1.
9.3, just
9.3. 9.3, sorry.
I still have, I prefer not to vote on this actually. Well, because I think I'm going to have to vote against it because I still don't see that there is any interest from this group in actually participating in the family services. I know that I, one person, and the people I've been meeting with in family and child care, people are interested in child care. Everybody would like somebody to worry about what they're going to do with us when we're old, but I don't seem that anybody in this room is actually willing to go to those meetings. And I don't think we should start a committee that is not going to have a liaison from the UA. And I am not going to stand up and do it. I will do it for the child care subcommittee. We can start that at the next meeting as an ad hoc committee. We can a formal ad hoc committee from the UA, and it can run all year. I don't think we should get into 9.3, 7.4, any of that if nobody is actually willing to go and spend an afternoon potentially once a month if this gets active, worrying about elder care and the other possibilities, the other parts of the family services. So I think if our only activity is creating committees, I think we should be careful about what we're doing. And I'm very adamant about keeping this child care committee moving and being formalized, but I'm willing to become an ad hoc committee for the UA next month and not put us in the position of starting a committee that doesn't have any advocates.
Well,
yeah.
To me, it sounds like almost either one or two things. One, I will definitely second. If it is. The first one is the response. It sounds like you pulled your own resolution, which stops all of this right now.
Well, that's
if it wasn't, then you're motioning to table it, which I would definitely second the motion to table.
Okay.
So whichever one of those.
I guess it's a motion to table.
Well, we have a question about this particular resolution now. If you want to follow Robert's rules of order.
Yeah, it does.
Motion to table trumps this question, not a question.
Yeah. Motion to table is the highest. Stops everything.
There are certainly technical details to be worked out.
Yeah.
And then, but I actually question whether I think we should table it to decide whether we kill it.
So, I mean, from my understanding is one, as the sponsor, if you want to pull it and just take it, throw it away, you can do that. If you want to table it, usually tabling means to a specific point in time. Would you want to table to the next meeting or two meetings from now or whatever?
I
would definitely specify that.
Right now. I won't be here next week. But it doesn't mean we kill all the things we've discussed. In fact, we can come back with a child care committee ad hoc. Mary will be disappointed. It is disappointing in a sense, but I think it's realistic. This is a pretty good crowd, representative of our constituency, and it's not, people are jumping out of their chairs for this committee. So I think we can ask the seven members who are here, perhaps there's someone there who's excited about it, but then I don't think we should create another campus store like dead.
Well,
hey.
Yes.
I know that Mary's committee now has many people we haven't even met. The child care committee hasn't met the family services committee.
Yeah.
So I wonder if between now and the time we table this meeting, we could have some kind of contact with the family services meeting it's possible there's someone within that group that Mary has on that sitting committee that's existed for 17 years that might be willing to head this up.
To join the UA.
Well,
formally to the UA. I mean, that could be a simple solution to it. Then submitting a report for family services directly to the UA, and without one of us in this room having to go to the committee meeting.
Yep, and then we could turn the child care committee into an ad hoc committee of the UA, and maybe it's just until I'm no longer a UA member, or until in that would correspond to the creation of this child care center. And maybe that's a model for the future, that you create ad hoc committees for things that are really active, and you avoid changing the charter.
And I just redo the website easier.
Well, it's cheaper than printing a bunch, you know. But it doesn't get us to a point where we have legislative authority and we could actually deal with a real conflict.
I do want to say one thing. I think Mary alluded to this here. One pattern that I see in Mary's agenda here with the University Assembly is that in the long term, to support additional services for family of students, whether it's children, elders, spouses, partners, that for that to be viable, there needs to be some sort of community constituency advocating for it over time.
It's a nice idea, but it needs to be backed up.
I think we got cold feet at the wrong time. I think, in fact, it's really sad that when we have been offered an opportunity to participate in an administrative set of actions, that we would pull out because, you know, there doesn't have to be one person standing up. I've already volunteered. I will stand up and do it. And
okay.
If that's your only condition, then I'm willing to settle for it because I think it's really important that the UA take some initiative in getting involved with the administration. So
well,
we won't come to certain
then I'll
where
take
we
my
have
table
to play.
Off and we can vote for it, and that will be an expression as part of whether people believe that we should get involved in these things that we don't have. The level of interest is right now. That's fine.
Right.
I agree with you that it would be nice.
You have one person. You have mine. You have me. I will do it.
Well, then I untable the resolution. If we feel that we know where it's going to go and so on.
Okay, and the number is 9.
Section 3, Article 9.
Okay.
And
everything is in place. And I have one proxy for this Steve gave. So everybody, when I say, let's call roll. Christopher?
Yes.
Randy?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tamara?
Yes.
Rodden?
Yes.
Jim?
Yeah.
Jules?
Yes.
Yes. Marty?
Yes.
David? Amy?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes.
Elizabeth? Okay, it's unanimous. We have plus one. That's 12 yeses. 13 yeses, sorry. Any no's? Okay. I know it's 10 after. I think since we got this done, and Abe, is there anything with, I want to request that we have 5 minutes to look at the family and family child care services committee subcommittee quickly. This is what we discussed last time. It's a subcommittee. It doesn't require all the debate about family service because in a sense that but would you please do a quick read of it, or I can read it out loud if you'd like.
I have an amendment.
I see the first 2 weeks.
You want to change the last sentence on the first page to reflect the language that we adopted in the other.
The president may appoint.
Yeah, that one.
Okay, there's an amendment to is that a unanimous consent to amend the last sentence on the first page to be the same as the previous? The president may appoint up to.
And then you can
5 voting members who shall be. Community or university.
And then the rest can stand. It's more specific than the other proposal, but it can stand.
Experts in subjects related to child care, so and so. Is unanimous consent? Okay.
Whereas clause now goes to the Article 9, Section 3.
Article 9, Section 3.
And the first be therefore resolved needs to read 9.3.1.
Subcommittee and
Child
Care
Services.
9.3.1. All right. Any other, all unanimous consent? Any other?
Isn't it that first whereas, doesn't that have to go completely?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. X out the first whereas.
And that's Elizabeth's proxy.
Thank you.
And the two whereas Article 7, Section 1, those are okay?
Yes.
That's an assumption.
Okay.
Yes, those are all, that's right. Okay. So, do we have a, is this, who moves this resolution? Randy removes the resolution. Seconded. Jules? Is there any discussion? We already had discussion. Okay, all those in favor, just by raising your hand. Any opposed? We have two. Yes. Any abstentions? We have two proxy. Two proxies. Yeses, and so that also passes with 13-0. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
Thank you very much, everybody. Congratulations. Nice work.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.